The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Dort for three, blocked by Harden. Dort got it back, tried to throw it off Harden, and missed him. It's Rockets basketball with 0.5 to go. James Harden, don't ever talk about his defense again. What a play.
Schroeder, Adams, Gallinari, and Chris Paul on the floor as well.
And Steven Adams just dived to the rim. He's wide open.
Guarded by P.J. Tucker.
And they get it blown up. The Houston Rockets blow it up. Deflected away. They tried to get it to Adams. And ball game over.
Offensively, I feel like excuse my language, but I couldn't make a shot, turn the ball over, just doing everything that was not supposed to happen, but I just kept sticking with it. You know, my teammates give me confidence throughout the course of games, and defensively I had to make a play, and I tried to close out to him. Dort has been knocking down some shots tonight, so I wanted to get out to him.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and today we have one of the greatest victories in the history of Houston sports. Yeah, the Dynamo kicked the crap out of that team last night. Did you see that? Oh, yeah, Rockets too. Let's do it. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776, or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, send a message. Aaron will read it. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that, and you can watch us on Twitch, and listen too, of course, but just go to twitch.tv/ESPN 975, and you'll hear the conversations that go on during the break. When we have conversations during the break, sometimes, you know, it's a little slow, but it is a Thursday, and I'm sure Houston fans in a terrific mood today. So, congratulations, Rockets. What a win.
What a victory. And people are mad at me. Like, people are acting like I said the Rockets were going to lose. All I said was, wouldn't shock me if they lost. It's not a...
Oops,
it's
here
not
we go
a,
again. I got the doggone volume on.
It's jeez. Not a a given. That whose fault is that today? What did I make you do today? That
no, no, but that's I still have like five more to catch up with you on that.
Okay. So,
yeah.
What did you push the shortcut key like I told you?
No, I already had thing up, though, because I was going to... never mind.
Never learn. He's so dense, isn't he, Aaron? Come on. All I said was it's not a given, and obviously it wasn't a given. It's a coin flip game. It was a coin flip series, and kudos to the Rockets for making the big play when they needed to. In particular, James Harden, who, let's face it, James Harden sucked last night, and now there's a bunch of people coming at me on Twitter. Last 5 minutes of the game, you know, all these assists and the plus minus. Dude, I don't need that. I watched the game. James Harden sucked balls that whole game. And then he made a defensive play that kind of makes it forgivable. That's really what happened. Like, but because he made that play, let's not change things to James Harden played well, because he didn't. He was bad. But he made the game-winning play. So when you win the game, people forget about the bad stuff. And I mean, it doesn't bother me that he had a bad game because they won. If he had not touched that ball and Dort's shot goes in, believe me, I don't care what is – that's the other thing that you got to remember. His plus-minus was 9 in the game. If that shot from Dort goes in, now he's +6 for the game. Is that somehow good? Did he have a good game? Because he was good in the plus minus, so it was a good day for James. No, we all watched the game. All of us watched what happened, and we all saw James sucked, period. But he did make the biggest play of the series, and the Rockets move on. Honestly, you know, we talked about who would need to step up. I thought Russ played well. Like, there was points in the game where he basically took over, at least offensively, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, Eric Gordon hit a couple big shots. Robert Covington was kind of a roller coaster. They were early in the game. I was like, what is he doing? And then he started hitting some shots. And then he missed a free throw and should have missed another free throw at the end of that game that would have made it a close one. But luckily, Gallinari misses his free throw, which, I mean, and then at the end of the game, there was just some play that was just awful, like where guys were trying to flop. Everybody was trying to get to the line and get that call. Yeah,
including the one play where like three Rockets go
all
down
in a row. Yeah. Like, it's like, stop it. Just play ball. But they win. And I've seen everybody talk about, well, their first game of small ball was against the Lakers and they dominated them. And they did. That's a fact. Will they be able to do it four times out of seven? I don't think so. And if you believe so, hell, you could probably make some good money, because I don't know of anyone who thinks the Rockets are going to win this series. But you do?
No, I was just trying to, I was just trying to be contrary.
Oh, well, hell, I was going to
make a case. I was going to make a case, and I'm like, eh, no thanks.
I'd love to discuss it, but it's, it's a weird sort of a situation because, the Rockets, they didn't play up to expectations this season, obviously. But at the end of the day, we all knew they were going to have to go through the Lakers and or the Clippers to get there. And here we are. So all the underperforming that they may have done, well, it doesn't really matter now. All that, we got to get the 3 seed so we can avoid the Lakers in the first round. All that's past us now. And now you've got the Lakers. What you going to do?
Well, you got to get through them at some point. If you really think you can win the thing, you have to get through them. It's easy to just totally dismiss them after watching this series, but it's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I know that's lazy, but realistically, they could win 2 games. I mean, I'll give a little credit to them last night, though. I mean, they did. Well, you know what? I can't even do that. I feel like the Thunder played like they did the other night where they were trying to give them the game, and this time they did. Because, I mean, the Rockets, I don't feel like they went out and won it. I mean, I credit to James for that play. That was a hell of a play. And I don't think you can say, oh, he never plays defense, not say that ever again, as the announcer said. But, I mean, he deserves a lot of credit for that. I mean, winners make plays when it counts. So that I'll definitely say good job on.
And the thing I'm getting a lot of is, oh, you're mad he made a play. The truth of it is, and this is going to come as a surprise to some of you, but some of you have listened long enough, you'll realize that this is a fact. It affects my life zero if the Rockets win or lose a basketball game or a series. I don't bet on the NBA. I don't care about the Rockets right now. I like this iteration of the Rockets. I liked the Rockets before. I grew up a Rockets fan. I could care less about this Rockets team because here's the secret that I know that a lot of you don't. I know the end result of this season. It's already written in stone. But there's those of you out there who think I'm mad because they got through a first round series. Imagine that. Oh, you're mad that they won the first round of the play. That doesn't affect me any. Because I already know what the end result is. Those of you who are still having like this weird blind faith because you love, they wear red t-shirts, so they're the best. It's absurd to me. So I'm not mad. I don't really have emotions about the Rockets. That's the thing. And the people take that as me being mad that they won. I wouldn't have cared if they won or lost, especially because it was a good game. Knowing it was a good game last night, or at least a competitive game, That made me know, well, that's great for the show. That's really what I care about.
Well, that's, and I was going to say, that's, it does impact your life in that you'll either be talking about them today or you'll be talking about them for another 4 or 5 days.
That's it.
Yeah. That's how it impacts you.
This is another dirty little secret. I care about this show more than I care about sports match games. That's it. Like, I have no emotional attachment really to sports. So I do have an emotional attachment to this radio show. I want it to succeed.
Such a hater.
I know. What a hater I am. You know who I hate? Nielsen. That's who I hate.
But yeah, that guy sucks.
I'm just not I don't get that worked up. And listen, I'm because they won, that means there's, you know, at least 4 more games of interest to local fans that are only Rockets fans and not full-blown NBA fans. So yeah, that's good news for me, really. It doesn't bother me one bit that they won.
I was actually rooting for him.
Were you?
Yeah, I wanted him to win, but
today's show would have been a beating if they would have lost. Yeah, it would have been 3 hours.
Fire this guy, fire that guy.
Not just that, and it wouldn't have just been 3 hours, mind you. It would have been from 7 a.m. on this show until, you know, 11 p.m. at the end of the next show, where it would have just been a constant James Harden sucks fest. This is what he is. This is, we got, and everybody's heard it. We all know. I mean, but there's no point. It would have been rough for him to go out on a game like that. If James is going to, you know, fail his way out of the playoffs, I'd rather him do it on a night that he actually plays well, so the whole narrative isn't that James blew it. Because last night, had they lost, that's 100% on James. There's not another person in that organization who would have had any fingers pointed at him today but James.
It would have been almost a carbon copy of the Monday after the Texans blew the lead to the Chiefs. Only replace Bill O'Brien with James Harden.
Yeah. Yeah.
And replace football with basketball.
Well, yeah, it's funny that people are going to talk about that play over and over again. Yeah, it's, oh, yeah, look, he won the game for him at the end. It kind of reminds me of the Texans-Bills game where Deshaun Watson was not good.
No.
For almost all of that game. But then the one drive.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, thank you.
It's the Bills-Texans game because, yeah, Deshaun stunk it up for a whole game. But he made a big play when it counted. And that's, at the end of the day, when you get that dub, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, I do think, though, that it was pretty obvious that, and somebody sent me an email today, a friend of mine, says, did it look to you like in all the game sevens, those guys were tired? It's like they kind of did look tired at the end of those games because they weren't executing. And
well, yeah, they're tired. Now, here's, imagine these, you know, all these game sevens are going on. I don't picture either one of the Western Conference series going seven. But if the Eastern Conference series keep going the way they're going and they end quickly, I mean, the Western Conference could be dragging some real ass because I think they're already kind of falling behind the Eastern Conference in terms of, you know, in terms of rest. Because think about it. Eastern Conference is already 2 games in to their semifinals. Like, they're already well on their way. So, yeah, I think it would behoove whoever's going to win these Western Conference series to do it quickly, efficiently.
Yeah, although I still don't think the Bucks are dead in that one. I mean,
man,
that was, you want to talk about a horrible ending to a basketball game yesterday. But you know what? The good news is you can bet on it. If you think the Rockets are going to win, you know where you can go. MyBookie. If you you want to play any of those series, MyBookie is the place to go. College football tonight, guess what? MyBookie. And this weekend, and the Derby. And Major League Baseball still going on. Golf, UFC, NASCAR, all of it. You can bet all of it at MyBookie.ag. And what I love about them, man, when you win, they pay you. And I've had bad experiences with sites in the past. Not with my bookie, man. You cash out, you get paid. That's simple. And you want to get in on the props, you want to get in on parlays, whatever you want to play, it's all available at mybookie.ag. And if you join today, they're going to double your first deposit. So put some money in there and use promo code RADIO, and that's going to double your first deposit. It's going to make the games a lot more interesting. Like, if AJ bet on that game, he might have cared about it a little more. And that's just how it works with mybookie.ag. Remember, they'll double your first deposit when you enter promo code RADIO. You bet, you win, they pay. Mybookie.ag, promo code RADIO.
face. Because it's about to get heavy.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 209 says, salute to the Rockets who didn't choke like everybody thought in Game 7. I think everybody thought they were going to choke. I said they were going to win. They disappointed me because, frankly, I thought they were going to run away and hide. I thought if it were a close game that they would lose, and they didn't. But there's a high choke factor on the other side. Let's not discount
and Chris
that.
Chris Paul missing. I mean, not just missing that shot, that little bunny shot, but like missing it by a foot. That's a bad look for him after he, you know, blabbed about some guys are fourth quarter players. Well,
yeah, and some are not. Okay. So you were right about that.
And I'll tell you something else that went the Rockets' favor. And I've said this for a while, but I think now it's becoming crystal clear to everyone. Billy Donovan is not a good basketball coach. Billy Donovan was a good college coach because he recruited a bunch of great players and won some championships with them because they were he had the best players. And who knows? I'm not here to say he cheated. That's not what I'm looking to do. But he had some success at Florida because of the players that he had. In the NBA, it just feels like he's, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but he's nothing special. And, you know, when he had Durant and Westbrook, it was like, oh, well, maybe. Well, and then Durant leaves, and then Westbrook leaves. And now it's pretty obvious he's not that good of a coach. And fact that he had three chances to come up with some kind of a play at the end of the game last night with, you know, 1.4 or whatever it was left on the clock. And after all that discussing it, what's he do? Oh, he gets Steven Adams to run out to the three-point line. Let's say Steven Adams handles that ball cleanly. What happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. It was just it was poor coaching, in my opinion, down the stretch there by Billy Donovan, and that it cost him.
I think he did a bad job, but I'm not going to call him a bad coach. I mean, look at the season they had. That team wasn't supposed to be anything. Can't tell me, you can't sit here and tell me that they didn't way overperform the expectations.
No,
a coach has something to do with that. Did he do a bad job last night? Yeah. Certainly drawing up those plays. And I talk about this all the time, and you guys ignore me. Coaches can choke in big moments, too. We see it all the time because the pressure is just as much on them as it is the players. And you can see bad play. Bill O'Brien did it against the Chiefs by just making ridiculous decisions. He just choked. And that's what Donovan did last night. I don't think he's a bad coach, but he didn't have a very good game and he made some big mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, a disaster at the end. And there was, if you were going to go to Steven Adams, there was a time where, like, no one was guarding Steven Adams. He was just standing under the basket by himself, and P.J. Tucker looked so confused on what he was supposed to be doing. Like, he's throwing his hands up like, hey, what's going on here? And then they didn't take advantage of it. You lob that up, you know, and let the guy – I mean, here's another crazy thing. I guess Billy Donovan didn't realize he had the only tall person on the floor. Throw it up to that tall person and let him just grab the ball and throw it into the hoop. But instead, they waited for the tall person to run out to the three-point line. And then they kind of threw it to him, I guess. I don't know.
But I mean, didn't that look like the kind of play the Rockets would run? Except they don't have a tall guy.
Yeah, without a tall guy.
How many times have we seen them do that?
But that's the other difference. The Rockets, at least, you know, they have four guys who, I don't want to say that are good shooters. Four guys who at least you can.
They're going to throw it up there.
It's not the worst thing in the world if they're the person shooting the ball. Steven Adams is literally the last person you want shooting the ball from three in that situation. So even if he'd caught it, there's nothing good that could have come from it.
No, but, you know, the other, I don't know. I kind of felt like it's like I was saying in the first segment, the Clippers were going out of their way to give that game to the Rockets. And I thought they tried to do that the other night too. And the Rockets just couldn't do it. This time they did. I think if they play another 5 minutes, I'm not sure either one of those teams scores again. And it was just brutal there at the end. And, you know, they got the win. They were supposed to win the series. Now they can, you know, but they're going to have to play a lot better. Or LeBron's going to have to blow a knee. Maybe LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but the
yeah, that's the, I mean, the Rockets just don't have, I think the Lakers are a problem. And I've heard people say the Rockets match up better with the Lakers than they do with this team or this. And that's because of that one game where the Rockets had some success against the Lakers. I don't know. I mean, the way Anthony Davis is playing now, he's going to have his way.
Well, they don't match up with him at all. They've got nothing for him.
Is Robert Covington going to be on Anthony Davis?
PJ? You're going to put PJ on him?
Well, then who's going to be on Dwight Howard? I just keep chucking it into Dwight Howard. Yeah. Then you're either going to have to... You're either going to have to bring someone off the bench that hasn't played at all, which I don't think is going to happen, or I think you're going to have to put PJ against Dwight Howard, and when Dwight's down the floor, he's going to be against AD, and he's just going to get beat up. And it's nothing against PJ.
No, who's that other guy they have that you got to cover too?
Oh, that LeBron James yeah. fella. Well, that's what I was saying. If we say let's put Robert Covington on Anthony Davis. And now what are you doing with LeBron? I mean, you, in theory, saying Eric Gordon, that's a cute thing to say, but that's not realistic.
Yeah.
There's some matchup problems, it feels like to me.
Listener Steven asks thoughts on Chris Paul's comments on the ref. I think it's the same one with history with Harden. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, that Paul was like 0-9 with him, right? 0 for his last 9, and the Rockets were 1 for their last 1. With him. So there, guess what? All you conspiracy Scott Foster guys, you know what the Rockets winning percentage is in the last two games he's reffed?
Percent 1,000?
1,000%. 2-0, officially a streak. Because one, you know, you could call one an outlier, but now it's a streak. So there you have it. 713-780-ESPN, your number 713-780-3777. Somebody said, what about Tyson Chandler? Is Tyson Chandler even alive?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Didn't he get the Rona? I know he's alive because I saw him like waving his arms on the sideline like he was trying to get on TV. It's really weird.
Hey, look, I'm still in the NBA.
Yeah. Hmm. But no, I don't think honestly, I don't think he could be an impact in that series anyway. And they would have to fundamentally change what they've been doing.
Right.
Which... at this point, we would all agree is probably a silly move, right? You've literally pushed all your chips into the table or into the middle on this small ball thing.
What your hope is, and I'll give you the positive here because you know that's what I try to do sometimes. You hope you can get them into a 3-point shooting contest because they are actually worse than you at shooting threes.
Why would they shoot threes in this contest?
If you get a 10-point lead, they start jacking up threes. We saw it in that game one that they lost to the Blazers, where they're that's the way you're going to have to beat them. Now, why would they do it? Hell, I don't know. Why would the Rockets continue to jack up shots when they've got a big lead instead of milking some clock? These guys do what they do sometimes.
But the Lakers have an inside presence that allows them to not shoot threes if they don't need to.
It does, and
the Rockets don't have that.
No, but they also. You know, I'm just telling you how it would have to work. I'm not saying the Lakers are going to play along. But,
okay.
But ideally, yeah, you get them down by a bunch, and then they start shooting threes instead of going inside. That's how you beat them. But, you know. 426. But that was a... I don't know if that
was... muffled.
Yeah, it was kind of weak. 832 says, conspiracy theorists will say the game was only as close as it was. Because Scott Foster couldn't decide which team he wanted to screw over.
I really felt like that at times.
It did, didn't it? It's like his head was spinning around like the Exorcist trying to figure out who to throw up on.
But he, like, there were some situations, and he, you know, Mike D'Antoni, I don't know if he talked him into it or at least convinced him to take a look at it, but like on the backcourt play that's like where Steven Adams threw the ball backcourt, Scott Foster in the past would have just ignored him and said, no, we're not talking about this. And then he would have. But instead, he said, okay, I'm going to go take a look, and it was the right call.
I think there'll be at least two games where the Rockets hit their threes in this series. Last night, they were able to win, I think, without playing very well. I just don't think they're going to be able to pull that off against the Lakers. And in that, I think if both teams play poorly, the Lakers are going to beat them. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So I think they're going to have to play, to have any chance, they're going to have four games where they go nuts. And really five, because I could see them having a game where they go nuts and they still can't stop the Lakers inside and lose it. So, but we'll see. I mean, that's at least they've moved on. You know, they're in against the Lakers, which, you know, that was, I mean, that bare minimum goal, right, was you have to win one series. If you lose to the Lakers, it's not as embarrassing as if you had lost to the Thunder.
Yeah.
So there's that. I'm looking for positives, man. I'm not, but I'll tell you what, one thing I'm glad about is that thing didn't end nearly as badly as the Heat-Bucks game did.
Boy, we need a whole segment to talk about this.
Well, I'll do the next segment then.
You know, and I want to be fair because there's been plenty of times where people are like, you hold Harden to a different standard than you do any other superstar. Well, I'm about to hold another superstar to a little bit higher standard, I guess. Like, you can't miss free throws at that point in the game. I mean, Giannis...
You talking about Danilo Gallinari?
No, I'm not talking about Danilo. we'll talk about that on the other side.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Got it!
So this is just for the scoring here, but Miami up 2-0 in the series. Wow. After blowing the lead. And Milwaukee tying the game with three free throws by Chris Middleton. Jimmy Butler is fouled at the buzzer by Giannis Antetokounmpo, makes the winning free throw, and the Heat take a 2-0 lead over the team with the best record in the NBA.
And the crowd goes wild. No?
Is it crowd singular? Like, yeah.
Which, by the way, when James made that block and he, like, turned to the crowd and yelled, did anyone else think, like, Who are you yelling to? Like
those fake.
If you're gonna yell,
those fake
like,
people,
he could have yelled at Dort, which I don't think he wanted to. I think he and Dort are buddies. I think they practice together every off season, and I guess he could have yelled at.
He could have turned to his bench.
Yeah, somebody.
Don't they have those fans on the screens?
Yeah, but those aren't real people, and they
can't
they're
hear real
you
people.
Yelling.
They're, but you know what? It's the same thing. We go to the racetrack, and people are yelling at. The TV.
That's true. I think that's weird,
I
too.
I think James just did that.
Go five. Get there five. Mother. That's pretty much what you hear every time at the racetrack.
Although, technically, the crowd wouldn't have gone wild because they would have been playing in Milwaukee last night when Milwaukee went down 0-2.
Oh, two losses on the road or at home. How are you going to recover from that? I don't know. Giannis missing. I mean, credit where it's due. The Bucks brought that thing all the way back and tied a game that probably had no business being tied. But Giannis, when you're down with under a minute left and you've got free throws, you can't miss both of them.
No,
you cannot. We're talking about a guy who's about to get handed his second MVP trophy. That's the best player in the league. That's why when someone was asking me, like when I said I'd take Luka, if I could draft everybody, I would take Luka first overall right now.
And I would too.
Somebody was like, over Giannis? He just won. He's about to win his second MVP, bro. Yeah.
I don't think Luka would have missed those two shots.
No chance. Now, to be fair, Giannis is a much better defensive player than Luka. That's a given. But I don't even know if he's I don't know if he's a two-way player. I mean, he's obviously scores a lot of points, but he's not a good offensive player. There's a difference. I mean, he's a good dunker. Like
and he gets a lot of points because he's so athletic. That
yeah.
He's just going to get to the basket. And
but he's a terrible shooter. And a bad – I mean, if you're a 55-60% free throw shooter, dude, there's going to be some times where it's hard to close out games with the ball in your hands. It's one thing in the old days when it was like Shaq and they had to change the rules and things like that. But – Shaq wasn't always – like, no one was looking at Shaq to make the game-winning shot very often. I mean, he was a force, obviously. But
he was there to get the rebound if he missed.
Yeah, but it was Kobe's job to take the shot.
Yeah.
And Shaq was supposed to clean it up.
Or Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, but in this instance, it's – I mean, Giannis is their guy. That's the guy they want the ball in his hands at the end of the game, and he's a guy who can't shoot and can't make free throws. That's disconcerting. And I don't know if the Heat are going to, you know, hold on in the series. I don't know. But I'm not buying the Bucks. I can't buy the Bucks now as a real title contender.
Well, and
I mean, I guess they're a contender. I don't think they're going to win.
And I still thought they were the only one in the East that had a chance to beat the Lakers.
More and more, it's looking like the Celtics are the team with that chance.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure they do. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. They're playing really well right now. And they, I mean, really, the Raptors outplayed them in game two, and they still won that fairly easily at the end. So they look real good. But you got to make those, man. And I just – and, of course, I hate it when games get decided by free throws like that.
Yeah.
But they
– But you know what? The Middleton free throws, that probably should have been a no-call too.
Yeah.
The foul at the end should have been a no-call. I think it was maybe kind of a little bit of a makeup. It just looks really bad when it's the end of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although apparently the 2-minute report came out and said that both were good calls.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing that the NBA is doing. And, you know, I don't know why they decided to do this. I don't know who they think it helps, but the NBA is calling so many fouls in this bubble. It's almost like watching a different game than we watched pre-bubble.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but star players for the longest time have gotten the benefit of the doubt, and they don't get ticky-tack fouls called on them. Now you're seeing a lot of star players get ticky-tack fouls called on them in what could be game-changing situations. Last night, James Harden kind of, I forget who it was that he kind of shoved a little bit on his way out of bounds. And normally, he gets away with that. They whistled it, and even James was like, what? And it wasn't the kind of what like Eric Gordon does every time he's called for a foul.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon believes he's never fouled anyone ever. And there's times when Eric Gordon will damn near behead you, and he'll be like, what? What do you mean it was a foul on me? I don't know what you're talking about. Stop it, Eric Gordon. We're on to your game, all right, dude? Just own it and get back down and play defense. Do something. Don't just stand and go, what? Or looking for a foul call the same way. What? Yeah, he's almost like Tim Duncan on one end. Like Tim Duncan's the other guy in the history of his NBA career, never committed a foul.
Oh, Magic Johnson was bad about that too.
Eric Gordon not only has never committed a foul, he's also the only player in NBA history to be fouled on every shot attempt he's ever had. So it's pretty wild when you think about it. But it's like, dude, stop it. Stop this begging to the pandering. Just go play ball. But
early in his career, Magic was exactly like that. Every single foul, he was like arms in the air, like what?
But
and every time he'd throw the ball up and he'd do a Harden and basically just try to get contact, and he wouldn't. And he's like yelling at the ref all the way down the floor. He got better when he got older, but for most of his career, he was the same thing. And guess what? He was a better player than Eric Gordon significantly.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say significantly. It's probably pretty close.
See, man, no, okay, fine. You know, you be the positive guy then.
Yeah, Mr. Positivity.
Mr. Pro Houston.
Not
team
a hater.
Guy.
Not a hater. Eric Gordon, almost as good as Magic Johnson. That's my pro Rockets tweet or text of the or hot take of the day.
So I asked, do you think the lack of fans and their vocal reactions to calls has affected the refs as well?
It could be.
It may be, yeah.
Because now they're not afraid to piss fans off by calling fouls on star players.
Yeah.
That's possible.
That's not a bad thought. See, I think they're calling more fouls because they're on lockdown and they're not having sex and they're miserable and they just want to make everybody else
miserable.
That's
also possible.
That's my theory. I have nothing to base it on. But
seems legit, though.
You know, it's a thought. It's a thought. By the way, your Astros are now only two games back in the AL West.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Well, the A's haven't played in like a week, right?
Yeah.
So they're just going to keep picking up games.
Yeah, well.
Where are they at in the winning percentage? Because that's what matters, right?
583, and the A's are 647. So
they got to catch them there.
But actually, they're only a game behind in the win column right now, but they're three games behind in the loss column. So that's where the, you know, I'm not good at math, but that's where the two comes from. So, you know, just, I actually predicted on Channel 26 that they would wind up catching the A's and winning the West, because especially since the back end of that schedule is a lot of Mariners who they never lose to,
yeah,
and Rangers who every now and then they lose to, but for the most part, that team's brutal. And I think the Angels. So, you know, I like their chances coming in, but, you know, it's amazing how fast the Astros have become, how excited everybody was when the season started and that was the only sport. And now you're like, oh, Rockets playoffs, college football tonight.
Right.
Texans next week.
Oh
yeah, Astros won today. Yeah.
I can't wait.
And somebody's asking, what do you think about the college basketball tonight? I see from the rundown that college football, excuse me. I see from the rundown that we have a guy who can talk about that.
Yeah, we got a couple guys that are going to talk about it tonight, today. So we've got the return of Brad Powers at 5:30 today. And I talked to him for a while today, and he's going to lock in and be on with us every Thursday at 5:30. And then at 6 o'clock, and we're going to do him recurring as well every Thursday, we're going to have a former Rice quarterback, Taylor McCarg, who's a college football analyst for ESPN and a commentator.
I'm curious how many games he's going to get.
I'm curious about it too. But I mean, with some of the smaller conferences playing,
yeah.
You know they're gonna use guys like him.
Yeah, and I mean I would hope that he'd get a lot of chances now. So because I think he's got a real good future.
But we'll talk to him about it. We'll ask him what his schedule is going to look like. All right, I got to tell you guys about TGS Insurance, and thanks to you guys, TGS is one of the fastest growing home insurance companies in the entire state of Texas. And why are they growing so fast? Well, because you guys have figured it out. They're actually going to save you money. And that's a great thing for people. Everybody likes to save money. And they'd make it so easy. All you've got to do is send a text message. They've already done the legwork for you. You text the word money to 232323. They're going to send you a text and say, hey, what's your address? And you go, okay, my address is blah, blah, blah. Boom, 15 seconds. They're sending you a full quote with excellent coverage. How about that? And if you don't like their quote, okay, no obligation to take it. That's fine. No big deal. No harm, no foul, as the kids would say. But it's legit, man. I saved a bunch of money. The average customer saving nearly $900 a year. I saved even more than that. So if you could use some extra dough in your pocket, this is the way to do it. And they're going to save you money now. They're going to help you get refunded on your previous policy right away. No worries. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. It's amusing to me that people don't get humor. you saying Eric Gordon was as good as Magic.
Oh, are there people who
there's
thought
three
I was
texters saying who thought you were serious.
Listen, the book's not written on Eric Gordon yet. I mean, he could have a resurgence, right?
Somebody and
Magic's career's done. He's not scoring any more points, getting no more assists. We don't know what Eric Gordon's going to do for the rest of his career.
Somebody else made up a pretty good point on the refs. The fact that there's no crowd noise, they can actually hear foul
contact.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
I think that's a good point, too. So for all the guys who don't get humor, We got a lot of really good texts there today. And don't miss, the Stars are also missing their starting goalie. I think, and I've seen this a lot, man. When you get a 3-1 lead in these series, usually you kind of feel like you got it won. And when the other team comes back and you get to a game 7, you play tight as hell. Oh, no, because you're still thinking of being up 3-1. It's like, oh, we're going to blow a 3-1 lead.
Right.
And it happens in hockey a lot more than it does other sports. And guys tighten up like that. And, you know, and I think the Avs have kind of switched the momentum around. Like it's been fun watching the Stars because, like, I know exactly when they turned it on. It was they were trying not to go down 2-0 to the Flames. And they wind up scoring with 11 seconds left and winning in overtime. And then they just rolled from there. And then the Avs kind of turned it around the other night and kind of figured out what the Stars were doing when they put up 5 goals in a period. And you're like, uh-oh, this is So I'm excited to watch that. I think it's going to be fun. Unfortunately, I don't have any betting plays for you on it. And, yeah, I'd like to see the Flyers stay alive, too. That would be cool. Beer Man Greg, who mentioned earlier, he, you know, they've survived the storm. He's back. Good for him.
That's good.
And I can't find on the Twitch what he had to say. Oh, yeah. He got power back yesterday and didn't have any damage. So, good job, man. But he also said that...
Well, that's not good job. That's like a congratulations.
No, it's good.
But he didn't do a good job.
Well...
He just got lucky.
You know what? Maybe that damn Laura didn't do a good job, and that's why. So, there. But...
You're acting like he went out with an umbrella and like waved it away. Get out of here, Storm!
Oh, that's what I did.
You're gone! Get out of here, Storm!
Hey, I kept it from hitting us.
It's like when a stray dog comes onto your property. You get out there with your shotgun. Gone! Gone out of here!
And hey, I told the Storm to be gone and not come to Houston.
That's true.
So, you know, maybe you should be congratulating me.
Maybe we should all try that next time one's coming close to us. Just every single person in the greater Houston, Beaumont area, go out. We all stand on our front porch and just yell, go on, get. And see if it pushes it towards Louisiana.
I get less concerned. Like, I've got no concern, and this is maybe a flaw. I'm not the least bit worried about a hurricane damaging my house. Not even a little bit. Like, I know everybody's, oh, you're jinxing it. Like, didn't even come really close to flooding in Harvey. Like, and Harvey seemed like, as far as rainstorms go, that's about as bad as it could get.
Yeah, I can't imagine in our lifetimes, including your guys, that we're going to see that again.
And now, like, it probably will happen. It's going to get worse and worse. Mm. There's this fake climate change thing is starting to come around. But, and wind stuff, I'm far enough away from the coast. You guys all laugh at me for living so far out. But guess what? By the time the wind's done, or by the time the wind gets through all the all of Galveston and Houston, it's like, oh, what a nice breeze we've got up here. So I do worry about the tower.
Yeah, and that's
the radio station.
That's always a concern. Especially where it's located, because that area can flood. But you haven't had to live through a real windstorm yet, and because you weren't here for Ike.
No.
And that was bad even up north, but hopefully we don't have one of those. So I never worry too much about it. Hell, I grew up right down there on the coast and lived through a couple big ones. And it's just, you know, Ike was bad because there was no power, and I can't imagine what it'd be like right now today in Houston, Texas, to not have power.
Right.
Or over in Orange or Groves or any of those places over there. I can't imagine what it'd be like for you guys not to have power right now. I know there's people still in Lake Charles and Louisiana that don't have it. I think Texas is okay. You guys can update me on that. But, you know, I really do think, and of course, next week when it cools off, it won't be so bad, allegedly cools off. But, you know, I just, that's the only thing I worry about these days, because, hell, we got 38 inches of rain in my neighborhood during Harvey and nothing. I mean, we had one side street flood. So I feel like we're pretty safe from that. But, you know, wind damage is a different thing.
Yes.
Orange Brandon said Fred saw the 1900 storm live. Yeah, I lived through that one too.
I recall like it was yesterday.
I'm actually, the worst one for me growing up was Alicia. which was, I think, my senior year of high school. It was 83.
By Alicia.
83.
Oh.
And we were living in Lamar.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
All I remember about it was the me being stoned during most of it, and you could hear the tornadoes going over because there were a bunch of tornadoes in that storm. And
I didn't get stoned that day because I was three.
How do you know? How do you know your mom didn't put something a little extra?
Actually, I was probably two, but I didn't get stoned that day. Hmm. Aaron didn't get stoned because he wasn't alive.
Well, so you missed out on a nice storm.
Well,
yeah, you were still two.
Yeah. Oh well.
Somebody
wish I'd seen it.
Somebody said Orange got hit bad. Yeah, that was close enough to the damn thing.
I saw a picture. Someone drove through and was like, pretty gnarly damage. It actually looks like Kenosha, Wisconsin right now.
Mm. Said, still pretty bad in Orange and Bridge City. Still lots of folks with no power.
And what else I've seen? Guys, we got to be smarter than this. A bunch of people are dying of carbon monoxide poisoning because they're putting their generators inside their houses. That's not how it works.
Shame.
It's not how it works.
Guys.
Like, no, you can't have a gas operated anything inside your house.
That's a terrible way to die.
So, if you look at the audio list, all leading up to it, I always had Governor Abbott's and Lena Hidalgo's and Turner's like quotes from the news of like, hey, this is what you need to do. And Abbott had said, don't put your generator in your house. It can survive in the rain and you will die if you put it in your house. And I was like, that's stupid. I'm not going to put that in the actual audio list because we won't need to reference that. Our listeners are smarter than that.
There's some. I don't know if any of our listeners died. I hope not.
Yeah, we need all the listeners we can get. So
I hate to lose one.
Well, you know what, though? If you did that, you're probably too dumb to be listening to the show. I mean, who does that? Somebody says no one inside the city in Lake Charles has power and probably won't for a while. So 409 says, it's sad you have to tell people that. Yeah. I mean, smart getting a generator. That's a good thing to have. But put it in your house? D says the fumes are getting into the house from the garage.
Don't put it in the garage.
Put it on your back patio or something.
Outside. Your garage isn't outside. Would you leave your car running in your garage all night, even if it was in the garage? No, it doesn't make sense. Don't try to justify me. Well, it was in their garage. You don't do that.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Somebody said I was six during Alicia and seven oak trees fell on our house and garage. I thought it was the coolest jungle gym. My parents were distraught. Oh, man. Yeah, and we didn't have power. I don't remember how long it was that we didn't have power after that storm. But it was really strange because I remember walking outside the next day and looking around and there were houses that were basically just gone. And then like you'd have a whole neighborhood where all the houses are fine, but then there's one just gone. And I also remember driving over to Texas City and seeing the Baskin-Robbins sign had been blown off of Baskin-Robbins.
Oh, no.
Baskin-Robbins I went to many times as a child. But there was, there was a lot of small tornadoes in that storm. And you could hear him, and it was kind of the one. And maybe it was just because I was stoned, but it kind of felt like the house was breathing because we had this old wooden house, and it was like, But that was the worst one that I experienced. Like I didn't feel that bad at the time. Because I was watching it on TV up until probably an hour into the storm before I lost power. But then when you lost power, it was bad, and. I was living in an apartment and the awning had fallen on my car from the wind, did some damage to it.
Hey, I have a question for Lawyer Dave.
You do? Well, let's get Lawyer Dave on and ask your question.
Lawyer Dave, if let's say a restaurant, a fast food Mexican chain, were to take my favorite item, the Mexican pizza, off the menu, would I have grounds for a lawsuit against Taco Bell?
Did you suffer any mental anguish?
Yes, I'm hurting.
I don't think so. Okay. But I'll give it more thought for you.
Listen, I'll find someone else. If you can't do it, I'm going to find someone. Oh, well.
Oh, my. You know, I had a client who was overcome with fumes from a generator but didn't pass away, and I went to see him in the hospital, and I said, well, why did you have your generator in your attached garage right below where he stayed? He said, well, I was afraid to leave it outside for fear someone would steal it. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, how'd that work out?
You know what works really well? It's kind of like what I do with my grill. You put a big chain on it and lock it outside.
Weren't you the one that was robbed when you left your garage door open a few months ago?
Yeah, that was two years ago. And by the way, thank you, officer, for not returning my stuff and getting anything done with that. But yeah, that was 2 years ago. Ain't nobody getting in that place now, I'm telling you, unless it's, you know, it's got to be like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. So I learned my lesson. But yeah, there's nothing outside. Well, there's nothing outside that's not chained down. So
Note to self, chain down your generator. Feel free to leave it outside. You'll know if they steal it because your power will go off.
That's a good point. You can go out and shoot them. Legally, right?
Jeez. Oh, that's right. Exactly right. Hey, Blitzers, it's me, Lawyer Dave, Houston-based lawyer David Mestemaker, giving you a few words for the Labor Day weekend. One, there are going to be a lot of drunk drivers out and about. Two, the virus is still making people drive crazy. So if you get in any kind of a wreck, somebody runs into you or runs you over on a bicycle or walking or whatever, make sure to call me, 713-626-8900. And I'll help you get to a doctor if you don't have any money. You won't have to pay any money out of your pocket up front. If you need a ride, we'll get you an Uber back and forth. And we'll do our very best to expedite your claim so you can recover and get paid and get back to work.
Yeah, that's what I like best, man, is that you're in it with the client. It's you don't get anything if they lose, so you're basically gambling together.
Yeah, man, we are in it to win it with all you Blitzers, especially you poor folks out there towards Bridge City and so forth. I was just out there passing through the area, which was a trek by itself, and it is devastation completely. I mean, it's just like bomb zone or war zone kind of. I mean, it's awful, awful.
Well, let them know how they can get in touch with you. There's a lot of good ways.
Okay. Hit me up, 713-626-8900. Or if you want to email me at lawyerdave.com. Or if you want to tweet me, it's lawyerdavelaw. Or my dear friend Fred and my dear friend AJ both know how to get a hold of me anytime, especially Fred, because I see him once a week at least. Hit me up, guys. I'll be glad to help you.
Well, AJ might not help now that you're not going to take his case, so...
Okay, AJ, I'll do it then. Gosh, okay, man. Jeez Louise.
All right, they need a lawyer. What do they do?
Gentlemen, Blitzers, ladies, you better dial Dave.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick. However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.
When the world is your oyster.